the Weekly Warm Pipe.
Well, happy Halloween, everyone.
Bunch of Halloweenies out there.
It's our last spooky episode. We thought it'd be fun to do ghost stories.
Ooh, I haven't turned the lights off in this closet that I'm in.
Spooky. Yeah, I tried to find, at least for me, ghost stories in Connecticut. I have some comments on some of them that I've maybe gone to or whatever, so we'll get into that. But I have articles. And we asked you guys as well, so we have two people responding. I kind of posted it late, so I apologize, but we got two people to respond, so we'll hear their ghost stories as well.
I shared it, actually. I'll take a double look and see if anyone responded. Okay. To my share.
Yeah, we did do it on our socials. We have Instagram is the Weekly Warpipe on our community page on YouTube, and there's also a Facebook group. Usually I end up posting them on Tuesdays, so if you guys check that out, you'll be able to comment. I try to remind everyone. Sometimes I'm late to it, though. But hopefully, if you know we get the topic early, we can do it on Mondays. But yes. spooky ghost stories.
Yeah, spooky.
Oh, I did have music to fit to our spooky ghost stories we'll play throughout here.
Some ambiance.
Hopefully it's at a good level.
It had a reasonable volume. Remember that from Office Space?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I did pick this up. They have more mystery soda. So Fanta got into the game of the mystery soda.
Oh, I like it.
So Fanta Zero Sugar. It's got a question mark on it. So it's supposed to be, is it Mountain Dew? Did the Mountain Voodoo?
Oh, yeah.
With the mystery flavor, but they already announced, I guess, what the flavor was. Fanta has not. And let's see. Oh, I think I can pour it out some for you. I get my.
Ooh, let's see it. Ooh, look at that mug. That's beautiful. If only we could order those, Russ.
So get your mugs at theweeklywarpipe.com. Check it out, though. It's.
Ooh, that looks like purple. That's crazy looking. It's like black.
It's like oil. Oh, yeah. It does have a purple tint to it.
Oh, it looks so creepy.
But it kind of tastes like, I would say, sweet tarts.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, if you want to pick yourself up some Fanta.
Where did you find it at?
I was just at Walmart. I saw a little six-pack on there, so I grabbed that guy. Did you want to do a... you want to start? How do you want to go?
Man, I'll start with one that was told to me about my aunt.
Okay.
So, my aunt... she I don't know how to describe her exactly, but like she's actually really gorgeous to be like probably in her 60s. Her name's Judy. She always is like all done up, but over the course of her life she's been married several times, and not that being divorced and remarried makes you a bad person, but I don't exactly know why this happened to her, but this was a story that was told to me by my parents. Why the heck they would tell me this? This is terrifying. But at some point in her life, she was driving down the highway. And I don't know if she was like far from God or Jesus at this point in her life or what the deal was. But as the story was told to me, and this is kind of a very short story, but she was driving down the highway, and all of a sudden she felt like this hot breath on the back of her neck. So she kind of like clenched and like looked down because it was like a very physical presence she could feel. Well, when she looked down in the passenger seat, she saw cloven hooves. And what? For those of you that have ever read like a description of the devil, he has cloven hooves like goat's feet, right? And so she just kind of quickly like turned away and like slowed down the car as quickly as she could and safely as she could without like, you know, witnessing more of what could potentially be sitting right next to her.
Okay.
And like pulled over to the side of the road and just like kept her eyes closed and like said a prayer, like, God, like, you know, clean this car or whatever the case may be. Right. And then like I guess the presence kind of she, you know, she felt safe to open her eyes, kind of like whatever this dark, ominous presence was, she didn't feel it anymore. And that's really as far as the story goes. Nothing else ever really happened after that, to my knowledge. But that seems truly terrifying to me. That's like my worst fear would be to see something supernatural or an alien. That would just like rock my world. But, oh God, I don't know what to do with myself now.
And I mean, to go with the story too, like it's also super frightening when you're on the road, right?
Well,
you're
driving, like so now you could have had a wreck.
You can't really focus on what you think you're seeing, where you don't want to crash. You don't want to go into a ditch or whatever.
Or a car.
Right. I mean, it's
going to oncoming traffic.
It certainly was creepy. A few weeks ago, we went to California and we were driving through the woods and there was no street lights, no service either. And fog was rolling in. It certainly felt creepy. And I was like, you get a flat tire out here. Like, what do you do? You're going to have to wait for hours for a truck to come to get like a repair or whatever. Or even just if you had the spare tire and you were fixing it on the side of the road, it'd just be creepy. Because we did pull over for a little bit because Gwen was getting a little fussy. So we're like, we'll get her out of the car. And this was probably like 6 o'clock. So the sun was kind of going down and just the emptiness and like silence
of like the forest.
They're of the forest. And I'm like, anyone could just like, I don't know, just come up out of the woods and be like, drag you down there. Who knows?
Or like, what if some scary, of course, my camera goes out.
Like, Jay's been stolen. Where is he?
I'm going to turn it off and turn it back on, but I'm going to keep talking.
Okay.
But like, what if just some creepy old truck rolled up, right? Or right. Like, and then like some guy gets out of the car and he's like, you folks need some help. And you're like, well, shoot, I don't know. Like, are you going to kill me or help me? Like, which one is it? You know? So, that could be terrifying too, you know, like almost like the Jeepers Creepers, like wrong turn. Like,
right. All those movies, you know, are replaying in your head for sure. And then even at the same point we were there, a truck did pull up, but it was a service truck like for the city or whatever. And they were doing cleanup, picking up the trash and whatnot. But Steph was like, I don't know if these people are inmates or city workers. And I was like, well, they got to be city workers, right? And one of the girls that we had gone up to, we had the Gwen in her carrying her, and she was like, oh, you got a beautiful baby. And she was kind of missing a few teeth or whatever. So I was like, oh, I mean, maybe she was like an inmate and was out there helping out or whatever. It's like, well, they could have done anything to us. There's no one else around. So certainly scary for
that. Dude, that's so creepy.
I'll get into one of the Connecticut ghost stories on my end. I got three of them. I would say one of them here is called the Melonheads of Connecticut. So hopefully Jay figures out his camera within time frame of telling.
No,
story.
Yeah, I'm listening to the Melonheads story. This is I already don't like the name of the story. It sounds creepy.
Right. Sounds creepy already. So they got a little article here that I could read through. Every New England town can claim a ghost and have many witch in their past, but the Melonheads belong to only a handful of places in southwestern Connecticut. The Melonheads live on the outskirts of town on a heavily wooden country road known as Melonhead Roads. Zion Hill Road, for example, is Milford's Melonhead Road. Sawmill City Road is Shelton's. The Melonheads are supposedly live on the outskirts of Monroe, Stratford, Seymour, Weston, Easton, Oxford, New Haven, and Trumbull. They look like small humanoids with oversized heads,
and aliens.
They rarely come out from hiding. They survive by eating small animals, stray cats, human flesh, usually the flesh of teenagers. And for runaway teenagers or hikers who disappear, the Melonheads serve as a convenient explanation. Stories about deformed country people who keep to themselves go back at least a century to Europe. Does say, according to another theory, the term melonhead may stem from Melongoin, which describes a mixed race of people in the Appalachian. They had an ancestry of European outcasts, freed slaves and Native Americans, and kept to themselves. Melonhead stories surfaced in Connecticut after World War II, a time when people moved away from the cities into the suburbs. They probably reflect the New York exurbans prejudice and fear of isolated rural folks. But how did the Melonheads end up in Connecticut? One theory claims they came from a family accused of witchcrafts and banished into the wilderness, where they survived and inbred. Through centuries of inbreeding, they mutated into the Melonheads. But according to another theory, the Melonheads escaped from Fairfield Hills Hospital, a now-abandoned mental institution, which specializes in inmates with mental health problems. Both are in Newington, Connecticut. A variation on that theme has the Melonheads escaping from an unnamed mental institution in the 1960s. The building supposedly burned. Some of the inmates escaped and turned to cannibalism, which caused their heads to swell. It goes on for a little bit more, but they have, like they said, different roads, essentially, where this has happened, and I have visited said road in Shelton.
So no way.
Sometimes they do call it Dracula Drive as well.
Wonder why.
But essentially, you know, it's knowing the backstory, and you're going down the road, and it's not really paved. It's like one of those almost dirt roads that kind of cut through the woods.
So, okay.
You know, if you're going down there at nighttime, it's like your mind starts playing tricks and you're like, do I hear something? Also, funny enough, with the Two Roads short horror contest that I entered last year, someone did a short movie talking about the Melonheads on there. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, plausible, right? It's not too supernatural. It's like these people living in the woods. Again, that kind of Wrong Turn movie-ish, like, okay, these people are inbreds and they eat flesh. You're coming onto their land. Maybe they have traps set and you're like, you know, you get a flat tire. What am I going to do out here?
Bunch of mongoloids coming at you.
No service. I'm just going to get captured and eaten.
Ugh. Sounds terrifying.
Yeah, so I think, you know, around this time, a lot of people like to go visit those spots and check it out. See how much truth is in it.
And hope they can find some mongoloids.
There we go.
All right, so I switched to the other camera, so forgive me for the slight lack of quality, but it's all good. All right, so I'm going to tell you a story. My dad was a Baptist minister, okay? And so he told this story in church. I don't remember the exact significance of it, but this is the story he's told. And I've told this to many people. My friends used to be like, Jay, tell us a story about your dad, because it is pretty weird. It's like super supernatural, and I don't know how to explain it. Okay, so my dad was growing up. He was one of seven children. He was the oldest, and he was the only male, and all of the other children were females. So one son, six daughters. So my grandparents on my dad's side, I guess when they were a bit younger and trying to learn their way through their marriage, you know, and navigating children, used to fight a good bit verbally.
Okay.
Now, I don't think it was physical. I think it was more like hollering back and forth and screaming at each other and this, that, and the other thing. And it was such an occurrence that happened so often. My dad would often kind of sit by the front window of the house and kind of watch the road as a distraction for himself. And also the other reason would be if anybody pulled up in the driveway, he could kind of say, hey, y'all need to settle down. Somebody's here to visit, you know, you need to chill out. So one day they're arguing and he's sitting there at the window and he sees this light at the end of the road. back, my dad was born in like 42 or 43. If he was still alive, he would be 80 years old now. So this was, you know, this was a long time ago. And I wish I knew his exact age during this, but obviously my dad has been around since 1995, so I can't ask him, and my mom doesn't remember the story. So he sees this light at the end of the road, and it's making its way up the road, and he's just kind of keeping an eye on it. And back then, you know, the way my dad told the story was, it wasn't uncommon to see vehicles with one headlight. You know, like that was pretty common. So the fact that it was only one light didn't really trigger anything in him until the closer it got to the house. So as it gets closer to the house, my dad notices that this light is just that. It is nothing more. It is not a vehicle. It is just a light. So at some point, he calls his parents over. He's like, hey, you guys need to come over and look at what I'm seeing. This is not normal. So this light comes down the road, slowly makes its way into their yard, and pretty much comes and positions itself right in front of the window where they're sitting. And they're like, you know, dumbfounded, like probably scared, because like this is not normal. Like, what is this thing we're seeing?
Right.
And kind of sits there momentarily, you know, let's say 20, 30 seconds, you know, long enough for them to kind of be like, what are we witnessing here?
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad said it proceeded to go back off the porch, you know, back across the yard. And he said, once it went hit the road, it was kind of like, like lightning, like, you know, just out of sight.
Right, just took off.
Just took off. He said after that day, his parents never argued like that again.
Okay.
So, Angel, I don't know. I have no idea what it was. I think that was my dad's reason for telling this at church, is maybe this was like an angel sent,
right? Some like a divine
to kind of like
intervention,
to kind of like, you know, work some things out in the family, you know, supernaturally. I don't know, but that story is one of the weirdest things that my dad ever told me in my life.
I mean, and it like it makes you think, because it's so happened so long ago. Obviously, it couldn't be like a drone or like anything that can fly and have a light on it.
Yeah, I mean, my guess is this happened either in the late 40s or the very early 50s. You know, I'm thinking my dad's got to be between like 6 and 10 years old. Right. And that's just me guessing. So if he was born in 42, you know, 48, he would have been 6.
Right.
50, he would have been 8. 52, he'd have been 10. So somewhere, I'm guessing, in those years. Yep.
Sure. But definitely got creepy vibes. Yeah.
Pretty creepy story.
I dig it. All right. I'll go on to my next story here, which is a place I did visit. So we'll have a little backstory, and then I'll tell you about my experience.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun. So this is a place in Connecticut called Dudley Town. Maybe I'll bring up the little page here so you guys can maybe see where I'm reading from here. How's that look? That looks good. Perfect. The Curse of Dudley Town. The story behind one of the most infamous lost towns in American history. For many years, ghost hunters have been fascinated by tales of the lost village of Dudley Town, a vanished Connecticut village that was apparently plagued by ghosts, demons, and residents who vanished without a trace. These grave events were said to be caused by a curse brought by the Dudley family to the New World. But how real was this curse? In the far reaches of northwestern Connecticut, in the shadows of the mountains, and lost in the pages of time, rest the remains of a small village called Dudley Town. The homes of this once thriving community are long gone, but the land where the town once stood is far from empty. Amidst the forest and rocks are tales of ghosts, demons, unexplained mysteries, curses, and a rich history that dates back to the very beginnings of America. Today, only the cellar holes and a few stone foundations remain. The roads that once traversed to this place are now little more than narrow trails, where only a few adventurous hikers and the occasional ghost hunter dare to wander. Although it is forbidden, the most hardened courtesy seekers still dare to venture down dark entry road and into these shadowy woods at night. It certainly goes on for quite a bit on this story here, but I'll just dive into like my experiences with the Dudley Town itself.
Dudley Town.
Dun, 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 dun. So probably back, this is probably, I'll have to say 1996. I think I was a freshman in high school then. It was either 96 or 95. And I had a group of friends that I was hanging out with, definitely into like ghost hunting or ghost searching, checking out the paranormal stuff. So I kind of came along with them for the ride. I didn't know anything about this prior to that, but I said, okay, I'll come along on the adventure. So I can't remember exactly where it was in Connecticut, but we had gotten there and there was almost like a parking lot that you could pull into, because again, they had kind of like hiking trails there. So we had got there, still light out, packed a couple flashlights. So we start walking through the woods and you're kind of, it's elevated, so you're kind of going up this mountain, and then you do start seeing the foundations of where houses would have stood. Just kind of like,
you were in the midst of Dudley Town,
within the leaves and this and that. We were going and there was kind of a like a rock cliff formation thing, and we did pass someone who's bold enough to be camping out there.
Ooh, no sir. No were, sir. Wrong was, turn vibes.
They were setting up their tent. So we're continuing into the woods, you know, talking, this and that. The sun started setting, so it was getting dark. Then our flashlights started to be finicky.
Ooh.
So it's like, come on, you know, just like
yeah,
in the movies,
come on.
You're hitting it. You're like, let's go. So we do end up like turning back, trying to get towards the car or whatever. And we ended up getting the heck out of there.
Yeah.
But certainly creepy vibes. You know, you're in there and you almost don't hear like birds or like any animal life. Yeah. You're like, what is happening here? And since then, it has gotten very popular place to visit, and the locals don't like that. So now it is very well guarded to where, you know, they're not going to let you park in that parking lot anymore or
right.
Like, traverse the town. So there's like whatever the surrounding towns are there. They're kind of like keeping a close eye
locals
on it.
Locals only.
Right. So because there's like too much going on, you know, maybe kids going there trying to start trouble or.
Yeah.
You know, messing the place up or whatever, and you don't want to mess with whatever's over there.
Or maybe the disturbance leaks out into their towns, and the more you mess with it, the more paranormal activity they're seeing.
It could be, yeah, you know. So certainly creepy, Dudley Town. Look it up for sure, and it's got a great story for spooky time.
Not a fan of Dudley Town. All right, you want to hear a UFO story?
Ooh, nice.
So I'll say as a child, my two greatest fears were child abduction and alien abduction. Just being abducted by anything, I guess.
Fair enough.
Humans or aliens, it all terrified me. I think this stemmed from the fact that my mother watched a lot of unsolved mysteries.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And by default, I watched, because back then, whatever your parents was watching, that's what you were watching, unless you were fortunate enough to have a TV in your own room.
I think just like the music too in that show.
And like, Robert Stack's voice. Like, why does he have to talk so dang creepy?
What? And you and like you're starting it and you're like, they're unsolved. So you're
they're unsolved. We don't know what's happened. Yeah. So so I already had like this deep fear of either being kidnapped by somebody who was like a child predator or being abducted by aliens, because you couldn't stop the aliens, right? Like, if they're going to get you, they're just going to beam right into your room. No weapon you have can stop them because they can use their mind to freeze bullets in time. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm going to the bathroom in my parents' bathroom, and we lived at this parsonage, which I still drive by all the time. And in the bathroom, there was this window right to the right of where you would stand to go to the bathroom. So often I would like be peeing and I would just like turn to the right and look out the window. And it was like this, it was like a look where I'm like, I want to see something, but I don't want to see something. You know what I mean? It was like, I was almost like tempting fate. Like, I'm going to look, but I really don't want to see anything. Please don't let me see anything. So I see like these three lights, and I assume they were stars at first. But then I see like this one light's like blink, blink, blink. And this other one is like toot, toot, toot. And this one way appears like beep, beep, beep. So they're all like blinking. And it's almost like they're communicating with each other. And then it's kind of weird because it's like a very similar thing that happened with my dad. It's like one just shot off to the left. And like that was really that's really the end of my story. But like it like terrified me because like I had literally just been thinking, I don't want to see anything. And then I saw what looked like almost like communication through lights, and then one shot away, you know? So like that always creeped me out. After that, I never really looked out that window anymore because I was like, I don't know what I want to see. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to see anything. So that was, that's one little story. And I have two other very short stories if you want to hear them, or if we can bounce back and you can.
I mean, if you want to do that, or we can hear, we have the two short stories that the viewers also.
I would be curious to hear those. Maybe we'll save my last two because they involve the house I live in now.
Fair enough. All right, we'll jump over to see what you guys had to say.
What did you say? What did you say?
Springfield, let's hear from you.
All right, we'll go over to our Instagram page. If you guys want to get involved or follow us, just head over to The Weekly Warpipe on Instagram. Retroholic 16 gave us a little short story here.
Good old faithful buddy.
Hey guys. So here in Colorado Springs, we have a dirt road that is called Gold Camp Road. It is in the mountains and was used back in the day for mining. There are three tunnels that are famed to be haunted. Each has its own story, including a miner who hung himself at the end of one, and another that collapsed on a school bus. It is sort of a rite of passage as a teenager here to drive up, park in the tunnels, roll your windows down, and honk the horn three times. It is said you will either see the hanging ghost or end up with the little kid's handprints in the dust / dirt on the outside of your car.
Ooh, I did not want little ghost handprints on my car.
Wow, I like that. That immediately brings, if you ever seen My Bloody Valentine movie, they had that was with a miner killing people for sure. So it made me think of that. And then almost like, you know, the old ghost stories of like, Hail Mary, right? Where you're, or not Hail Mary, so that's football. Bloody Mary.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Saying her name three times in the mirror. So it's like, this kid's got to park, honk three times, and then this is going to happen.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I will also, someone suggested for me to watch, there's a series I've been watching on, I think it's on Hulu, I want to say, and it's by John Carpenter, and it's called, Suburban, what the heck is it now? And I'm trying to bring the name up. Suburban Murders, or it's basically true stories that happen, and they kind of reenact them. Suburban Screams. John Carpenter. It's on Peacock, sorry. So Peacock, Suburban Screams. They're each one episode, and they have some pretty creepy ones too. They had one about this called the Bunny Man. That was
Dude, I saw the Bunny Man.
You saw the Bunny Man.
That was a creepy episode.
So definitely check that out if you want some more creepy stuff. We do have one more on, let's see, what was our Facebook page? Someone submitted, so we'll check that out as well. All right, we got Richard King giving us a spooky story. As kids, in my family, we used to share stories about the attic in my great-grandmother's house, none of us had been up there. Cousins used to tell legends of it being haunted by a relative, and that was enough to keep us away. Until one day, when the oldest cousin dared me to go take a peek.
Mm-mm-mm.
Being younger and wanting to impress my older cousin, I took the challenge. Richard. I walked up the stairs to the attic with confidence. Mm-mm. Although, on the inside, I was terrified. I opened the door, which slowly creaked open creepily. Surprisingly, saw just a big empty space. I thought to myself, this could be used as another whole room. But then my eyes latched on to the lone trunk in the corner that looked really old. And right next to that, a rocking chair.
This is giving me chill bumps already. This is creepy.
Music's great, too.
I know. I love this music, dude.
With all the cousins behind me clamoring for me to tell them what I saw, I started to reply with, it's just an empty room with a box and a chair. But before I could get the word chair to sound out of my mouth, that very chair started to heavily rock on its own.
No, dude, no.
It was at this moment that I screamed and noped right out.
Yep.
Fleeing down the stairs past all the other kids, and they soon bolted right behind me. We never went back up there.
No, no, no. Absolutely not. That was amazing.
That was a good one, yeah.
Dude, that totally creeps me out. Not gonna lie.
I will say, a lot of these short stories making me think of Goosebumps,
yeah.
Right? The series, they have brought it back. If you guys don't know, there is a new Goosebumps series on... Where you started watching some of it too, Jay, I think you said?
I tried to watch some of it at work today. I couldn't get into it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so I don't know if I just didn't give it a long enough a chance. I was watching it by myself, and some of my coworkers walked in, and so I got a little bit distracted by that. But also, I don't know, it just seemed... Is it an ongoing story? Does it all connect?
So we watched the first episode is the... what is episode one?
There's something about a picture. Don't say cheese or don't.
Oh, say cheese and die.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's based on the book Say Cheese and Die, and it's the camera when you take a picture of someone, it shows how they're gonna get killed or injured or whatever. And the way the episode ends, you're like, wait, like what? So when you start episode two, which is the mask, the haunted mask,
mm-hmm.
You start to see, oh, it's tied all together.
These are tied together. Yeah,
every book. An episode, they made it one cohesive story that kind of intertwined. So it's pretty cool
mm-hmm.
once you start watching it, because then you can binge it and you're like, oh, I'll watch 2-3 episodes. Like, I want to see what happens. How, when this is happening, you know, they go to the one house and like the kid finds the camera in the house, the girl finds the mask in the house. So it's kind of tied to this.
Right. So. It was interesting how it started in 1993.
Right. I was like, oh, okay. They're going a little throwback.
Yeah. That was kind of cool. Sweet. Do you have any more, Russ, that you want to tell?
I did have, one more.
Okay.
But cemetery.
The graveyard.
The graveyard. So this is called Union Cemetery. Union Cemetery is occupied by the legendary White Lady, and it's considered one of the most haunted places in America.
Ugh. No, sir.
Nestled at the crossroads in Easton, Connecticut, Union Cemetery dates back more than 400 years, and its ghosts have been terrifying passerbys and ghost hunters for decades. There are believed to be many spirits in the graveyard, including soldiers and giggling children.
Ugh.
But the most famous haunts at Union Cemetery are the White Lady and Red Eyes.
Ooh.
Nobody's quite sure who the White Lady is. According to Damn Connecticut, some think she could be the ghost of a woman who died in childbirth and is still searching for her baby. Others speculate it's a ghost of a woman who murdered her husband. The White Lady could also be the ghost of a murder victim who was dumped in a sinkhole near the cemetery. No matter her origin, she is often sighted on Route 59, which runs along the cemetery's eastern bound. The people who have seen her said she's dressed in a bright white nightgown and her head and face concealed with a white bonnet. In the 90s, a firefighter responded to a call in the nearby town of Monroe. Said a woman in a long white gown jumped in front of him and he hit her. According to the Monroe Sun, the woman rolled over the top of his car and landed in the road behind him. When the firefighter leaped from the vehicle to render first aid, his hood was dented, but there was no one there. The cemetery's other famous ghost, known as Red Eyes, sometimes peers at people from the bushes.
Yeah.
According to Only in Your State, some visitors have reported feeling hot breath on the back of their necks.
What? That's creepy.
And when they turn around, they see mysterious red eyes peering back at them. Occasionally, this ghost even chases people in the cemetery. Red Eyes is believed to be the ghost of Early Kellogg, a man who was set on fire and burned to death across the street from the cemetery in 1935.
Freddy?
Origin story. The haunting of Union Cemetery drew the attention of famed demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Ooh, I don't like Lorraine Warren.
Who visited the cemetery on several occasions and compiled their findings into a 1992 book, Graveyard, True Hauntings from an Old New England Cemetery. Ed Warren, who also investigated the Amityville Horror House, reportedly caught the White Lady in photographs and videos. Lorraine Warren told NBC Connecticut in 2008 that the video evidence is so valuable she kept it locked away at their occult museum in Monroe. Visit only if you dare.
No.
According to the Monroe Sun, the graveyard is closed after dark and the town police will write tickets for all trespassers.
Excellent.
So I've drove by the cemetery. We went to my friend's house to film something and he had mentioned this is where Union Cemetery is, and I was like, oh, okay, because like said in the article, very close to that is the Warrens Museum, where they have all the, and the Warrens, I have had gone to see their show years ago. This is when both of them were alive and we got to see them do a presentation, and he did show the picture that he got of the White Lady.
It was
super creepy. Like you can see, you know, like through her, like I was like, wow, that's awesome. They ended up showing a bunch more stuff and they told us at the event they were working on a movie that was going to be coming out, and that movie was called The Conjuring.
Oh yeah. Nope. Which, nope. Not a fan.
Which had then had plenty of sequels and all this other stuff. So that area there certainly is creepy. I did want to kind of maybe do something for my Halloween special and go there with my friend and drive. I was like, well, I can't go up and down the street in the Mario Kart car. They're obviously going to spot me. Like,
yeah,
you don't belong here.
Right, right.
But it'll be interesting to see. I know the same group of people that I went to Dudley Town with also have gone to Union Cemetery a few times to try to spot the White Lady, but it's a fun local tale.
Yeah, pretty creepy, Russ. All right. I'm going to tell two little quick stories about my house and then one story of a local legend here in South Carolina. So the two stories in my house are very brief. One night I was asleep in, or up in my room with my wife, and our daughter was in her room. And my son may have been alive at this point, I don't know. But they had this toy. It was this carousel. And it would play this one specific music. But the only time it would play that music is if you spun this knob to turn the carousel. And I'm upstairs and I hear this music go off. And I'm like, the only way to do that is to spin that knob. So I walked downstairs. I turned it off. I put it back down. And I went back upstairs, but I thought to myself, if I hear that damn thing go off again, I'm burning it. So I don't know if it was like a fluke. I don't know, but it totally creeped me out.
I mean, I will say now having a daughter and she's young, so we have a lot of toys that make music. There's a bouncy, jumpy seat thing or yep. whatever. And me and Steph were in the living room just watching TV, and then we hear the little thing go off, do 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 boop boop, and we're like, yeah. "What the heck?" And like, even some of the other stuff like randomly goes off, and I'm like, "Super creepy," because it's yeah. like all that kids like toy yeah. stuff or kids like laughing or whatever. It's like all scary.
Absolutely. So that was one. The other night, I don't know what I was doing, but I was laying in bed, I was trying to go to sleep, and I like glanced at my door, and from one side of my door to the other, I see like this shadow figure cross my doorway. When I get scared, I instantly start freaking out. And I'm like, what the was that? Oh, sorry. I should have cut. Sorry. You might have to mute me on that. You're going to have to mute me on that, Russ. Sorry. I didn't you have to put the bleep in. Anyway, put the bleep in. Sorry. My bad, Russ. So, but that was probably what I said. I was probably, you know, cursing. And so my wife, she's like freaking out, and she's like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And she's like, do you need to get the gun? And I was like, all I could think of was the gun ain't going to help from what I just saw. Like, unless it's going to shoot through a shadow. So totally creeped me out. Did not go back to sleep for like ever. All I could think about was this thing, whatever it was. But I will tell you, since then, what I think happened is I tried to recreate it 1,000 times by like moving my head.
Okay.
And yeah. I think what actually happened was an optical illusion. And I think my vision was trying to catch up, and like it created the shadow, because I was almost able to recreate it a couple nights later by like moving my head real fast. Mm-hmm. And I think I had been watching scary shows almost like we're doing now, because I know I'm gonna have a hard time going to sleep tonight. I'm gonna have to watch something like non-scary to like get me, like, I don't know, some cartoon or something, so I'm not creeped out. But I think I just like, my mind was like kind of focused on like scary stuff, and I think I just creeped. I don't think I actually saw anything. I legitimately think that it was
an
optical illusion.
Okay.
However, that made me think of another story that I gotta tell you guys real quick. So my wife and I got married at this bed and breakfast in Ohio, in this little town called Norwalk. And it's up kind of pretty close to Cleveland. And it was our 9-year anniversary. I don't know why we decided to go 1 year early and not make it our 10-year anniversary. But we go, and we're going to stay at this bed and breakfast, you know, and whatever. It's cool. So we're up there and we're hanging out, and then like we just have to go get dinner, and then we come back and
oh no, Jay's glitching out. He glitched out. You went to go get dinner. You're back. You're back.
Oh,
he's
man,
frozen.
The ghost during my they're my computer. Okay, so yeah, my computer's all of my electronics are failing right now, which is also creepy.
Creepy. They're trying to get so
am I not moving right now?
You're not moving, but we can hear you.
Okay. All right. So anyway, so dude, So I am in this like Victorian style room. I am dead asleep. And then all of a sudden I hear like a huge slam. And I'm like, once again, the word that you're going to have to bleep out from earlier. I'm like, what the heck was that? Except it was not the word heck. It was another word. And my wife grabs me and we're both sitting there and it was like something just slammed our bed so hard. So I finally like get a light on and there had been this huge mirror sitting on top of the fireplace at the foot of the bed.
Yeah.
And it had fallen and smashed into the bed and just like broke into like a couple pieces.
Jeez.
So that completely set me off because I'm already in this like old Victorian style, like, you know, bed and breakfast. Right. And this new family had just bought it like 6 months prior. So I think I stayed up like another 4 hours. I think I didn't finally sleep until I could start to see daylight outside. I'm like, all right, you know, I can go to sleep now. So
yeah.
So I probably slept only like 2-3 hours. We get up and go downstairs and we're like, hey, like,
where did Jay go? And Jay literally left the podcast. He got booted somehow. I'm gonna have to wait for him to sign back on. Only on the creepy episode. This has never we've done what, over probably 100 episodes between Weekly Warpipe and Warpipe Wednesday. Jay's never been booted like that. Coincidence or spookiness? It's like, this never happened ever.
Dude, this has literally never happened where my computer just stops working completely. And like, even my camera over here is not working. So I don't know. There's some weird electricity in the air tonight, but
the forces are against us.
It's creeping me out totally. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we certainly appreciate everyone hanging out and hopefully maybe we creeped you out a little bit. Maybe it was a little spooky.
Yeah. Did you actually get to hear the rest of the audio from my story?
I'm trying to remember where you left off now.
Basically, I left off with the mirror crashing and then we were talking right to the owners the next morning at breakfast.
Okay. Yes.
They said they didn't know of any ghost stories, but they were definitely going to start telling ours.
How about that?
I will never stay at that bed and breakfast again, by the way.
Nope. Like done.
All done. All done.
All set.
Yeah. The only other story I was going to tell that was a local legend was there is a bridge in Anderson, South Carolina, which is about 40 minutes from here.
Okay.
Called Crybaby Bridge. And basically the story goes that this lady had a crying baby and out of I guess just couldn't take it anymore. For those of you that have kids, your child's crying, you know, you can't get them to soothe. It's maddening. My first daughter was like that. I think Russ is perfect little baby, probably doesn't do that to him, but mine did that to me. And so the mother probably with some postpartum depression and you know, the stress of the newborn baby threw the baby over the bridge.
Oof, that's tough.
And then after that, she had like almost instant regret and then threw herself off the bridge.
Jeez.
So legend is that late at night, a ghostly figure of a mother telling her baby not to cry or weeping. You can see that on the bridge. And that is Crybaby Bridge in Anderson, South Carolina.
Wow.
Pretty creepy. I've never went there and I never will.
He's like, I'm all set.
I'm good.
I'm all set seeing that creepy stuff.
Yep, no more creepy stuff for me. Let's move on to Christmas and bright lights and happiness.
There we go. Sweet. Well, if you guys do want to continue with some creepy stuff, hopefully this Monday will be my Halloween special over on my Russ Lyman channel, so you can check that out. It's gonna be at least an hour long and I throw like retro commercials in there, so it's a good time. So be sure to check that out and you know, follow us at weeklywarpipe.com. we got new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. You give us a phone call, 949-682-9277. Leave us a voicemail and hey, tell us a creepy story. Tell us future episodes you want to hear or how we're doing. And quick shout out to our Patreon supporters. We got Dan and Nicole's Treasures Untold, Joe Sheevy, Trace Livinggood, Samantha Chang, Rodney Torres, and Retroholic 16.
Oh yeah.
Much appreciate you guys supporting. And yeah, have a happy Halloween, everyone. And hope it's a good spooky time.
Yes, right.
We'll see you guys later.